Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the Chad Daybell trial. Today is day 30 of the Chad Daybell trial, and the prosecution just concluded their rebuttal. I am here with Tammy Daybell's cousin, Julie Brooks. Mm-hmm. You also know her mother, Aunt Vicky, yes. As we call her.
Yes.
On our channel. Hello, everyone. Thank you for your patience. We got home. We got settled. I've got a cough drop, just a pre-forgiveness before. And I know, Julie, that you've been waiting a very, very long time to do an interview, perhaps never wanting to do an interview. Many people have asked.
Yeah, a lot of people have asked. I think just been cautious to wait until I felt like it was appropriate, just with the trial and everything. I definitely would never want to say something that could affect that in any way. And so that, and then it's a little nerve-wracking kind of putting yourself out there. And so I think just nerves too, just trying to figure out the right time and right person to do it with.
As Kay Woodcock said after court today, we let Kay know Julie's going to do an interview with me. And Kay herself said she is the only person, Julie is the only person that knows every victim and the perpetrators and the defendants, mm-hmm. In this case, and his family. Mm-hmm. So why don't you share again how you're related to Tammy and how you know everyone connected to this terrible case.
Okay. Tammy is my cousin. She married Chad, and obviously most people know that her mom and my mom are sisters. And the way I live in Arizona, and when the Vallos moved back from Hawaii, they moved into our ward, which is just the congregation, if you're not familiar with that, just like the location where we were at, they moved there. And so my oldest daughter, Noelle, was good friends with Tylee. And I worked with Lori in the primary, which is working with kids and singing time and lessons that way. So JJ was in there with us as well. And then my husband was friends with Charles. And so, yeah, they were in they attended our church, our ward, for about just over a year, I think. And so I worked with her specifically, Lori, for a year. And so, yeah, it's a crazy connection. When I realized how I knew all the parties, it was very mind-blowing.
Yeah, we can only imagine, and disturbing. And also, I want everyone to know that you also grew up in Springville. So you grew up knowing all the Daybells.
So, yeah, I lived in Springville, so I kind of moved around a lot growing up. So, but a big part of my childhood was in Springville, and where I also was in the same ward congregation with the Daybell family. So while Chad was quite a bit older, I knew well Matt and his younger brother, Brad. I went to school with Brad and knew his parents and knew them well. And so, yeah, super close with Matt, was friends with Brad. And so, yeah, I knew them well.
I mean, and then, of course, this is your cousin.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just actually looking at pictures just of when they got sealed in the temple and we were all there.
Tammy and Chad.
Yeah. Remember their courtship. I remember them dating. Yeah. I wasn't in the temple, but we were outside and we got a family picture outside and just lots of family gatherings, lots of at the time when I know a lot of people have heard about Grandma Cooper. That's my mom's mom and
Grandma Lucille.
Yeah. When she was living, we got together quite often and as a whole family and during the holidays and obviously during weddings and, special occasions. And so, yeah, I mean, they were married for a very long time. And so, especially at the beginning when I was still living in Utah, we got together quite often. And then as people grew up, had families and other, life events, you know, you kind of just spread out and move different places. So those gatherings became less over time, but, we definitely still tried to, like, if we were all in Utah or somewhere where everyone was, like my cousin Patty, who some people have met, she got married in California. So like as many people, you know, Tammy was there for that. And as many people that could come came to that. So
you're a close knit family.
Yeah. Like we tried to, over the years, still try through Facebook and just still try to communicate and keep up on each other's lives and families and weddings and important events and stuff.
Yeah. And Patty is a cousin who testified at trial. She had to testify. She did a great job. And
her and her daughter both had to testify. And
Hannah's story with the stairs.
With the stairs. Yeah, that kind of blew up. But they were very nervous and obviously did not want to be put in that position. I don't think anyone could imagine having to do that. But yeah, they were super brave and I thought they did a great job.
So the world didn't know about the missing children until December 2019. Right. Can you share your story learning about this?
Yeah.
And like, what was the first suspicious thing? And then as you learned, you showed me some of the texts.
I think by nature, I'm a little bit of a suspicious person. I may be watching too many datelines. I'm not sure. But when I got the call from my brother about Tammy's passing. And it was that day. And I can just remember feeling shocked. And I think, like, people have heard her friends testify. None of us were aware that she was, you know, sick. And, you know, she was healthy. She had a great family. She, you know, her career and she was super involved. And we thought all was well. So when my brother called and told me that she had passed away, I was in shock. I really was. And I obviously was like, what happened? Do you know? And he said, well, Chad, I guess, said that she aspirated and she threw up and then he found her in the morning and she had passed away. And I was just like, immediately that didn't really set well with me. But then I said, you know, are they going to do an autopsy? And he said, no, they're not going to do an autopsy. And I said, oh my goodness, like, why wouldn't, you know, especially in your family, just trying to figure out, like, could have something to do familiar or familia wise, like, is it genetic or is it something?
Right. Could her children be affected?
Yeah. Could anyone in her family be affected? So it just seemed like so weird to me that wasn't even an option, even if you had to pay for it yourself. So that was a red flag for me, number one. And then number two was the whole, I was actually just reading back my text threads about this, but just the whole having the funeral just in a couple of days later. And I was living in Arizona. My mom was living in Arizona. She was sick and not feeling well at the time. And we were just like, is there any way that they can hold off? Because we really want to be there. Like, this is important to us.
It's and your cousin.
Yeah. It's like a cousin. Like, we love and care about her. And obviously this is devastating for all of us. And so we couldn't make it work out. I mean, I have a husband that travels and I had kids in school and stuff. And so I was just so sad that I wasn't able to make that. My mom also was not able to go. And so that felt really devastating for us. And I just was like, what was the rush, honestly? So I couldn't, that was also another red flag. And I thought, oh man, maybe I'm reading into this. Maybe I'm not seeing things right. But there was just always this gut feeling I had that it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel like the normal process of when somebody passes away.
Something was off.
And then immediately I had seen Chad's post that was, I think, either the day that she passed away or the day after on Facebook. And it was just like basically a eulogy of her life. And it was so off-putting, to be honest.
Because it lacked emotion.
Yeah, it just was like, who is in a right frame of mind to be able to write that out so quickly? It just like, aren't you still processing? Aren't you still? And so that was pretty devastating. So time goes on, and my other aunt, Patty's mom, we had been connecting and just talking, and with my mom, and just kind of like, this is so crazy, you know. But then, and I wasn't in Utah, so like anything that would happen, it would kind of get relayed to me.
Right. You're
yeah, it wasn't like there. Yeah. So
family text threads or whatever.
Yeah. So then my aunt texts me, and she's like, I mean, the short of it is that she said that, basically this Lori woman, you know, he's kind of bragging about her to the family. And I was like, oh my gosh, like he's already dating somebody. And then it was like a couple days later, like, I guess he married her. And then that kind of just solidified my suspicions a little bit.
I wasn't wrong.
Yeah, no, I just felt like, whoa, that.
He did something.
Yeah, he did something.
Your suspicion was that he did.
Yeah.
That he killed her.
Maybe. Yeah. My suspicion for sure was that he drugged her, or, you know, I figured that as much. So then, my aunt's texting me, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then I get a text from her later that day, and she says, or like within a day or two. And she says, well, I guess this lady Lori is from Hawaii, or her husband, like the story was that we heard her husband had passed away in Hawaii. And so we were like, okay, like I'm like on the internet trying to be, you know, like a detective trying to figure out like if I can see anything on Facebook or if I can, you know, get any information. Cause once I found out he was married, it just like set me off. So then my aunt then gives me the details that I guess they were living in Chandler or Gilbert, Arizona, and her husband was shot. And I was like, that is so weird. I'm like, I do remember that, but like what? And so I Google it, and I realized that my mom owned a flower shop at the time, and she was working. And I remember texting her or calling her and saying, oh my gosh, be careful, because somebody was shot in the neighborhood across the street from your shop.
Oh my gosh. So you didn't know that was Charles?
I didn't know that was Charles.
You didn't even know that was Charles.
No.
Wow.
No, I like if somebody gets shot and killed, it's just big news, like in a small town.
You don't assume you know them.
I was like, oh my goodness. Like, so then when I Googled it, then I realized, and it like the headline was like Vallow. Like I texted back and I said, oh, I'm a little bit freaking out right now because I think I know some Vallows. Like that's not a very common name either. And then I read the article and it said Charles Vallow. And I said, I started having a major panic attack, which I had never really experienced before, but like my heart just sank once I realized. And I was like calling to my husband. I was like, gosh, did you have any idea that Charles was shot? And he was like, no, I'd never heard that, because at that time they had moved out. And they were in a different location. And so we didn't keep in contact with them after that. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and it's just like one of those things where like you have all these thoughts at once, and you're just kind of like trying to figure out how to make sense of it. And then I ended up asking a few friends that went to church with us, like, did you guys have any idea? Did you hear about Charles Vallow getting shot? And one of them was like, oh yeah, I remember hearing about that. Like, that was crazy. Like, we don't know what happened. So immediately after I realized that, and I had a minute to like freak out about that, I was like asking my daughter, I'm like, have you heard from Tylee at all?
Because your daughter is friends with Tylee.
My daughter was friends with Tylee. And going back a little bit, So Tylee and my oldest were good friends. And Tylee had a lot of good friends. She had like different groups for, you know, she had like some church friends, and then she had friends just from school. And like when she moved out, she had other church friends. And so like she had a lot of different groups of friends, but they all were like connected also. So yeah. So I was like asking my daughter, I said, have you heard from Tylee? And I started messaging girls from the church. And I was like, have you guys heard from Tylee at all? Like, have you communicated at all? And they were just like, no, we haven't heard anything. So yeah. So like it all started just kind of like playing out over the next little bit. And I was feeling really not unsure about the kids right before I was questioning, you know, I was texting Tylee. I was, you know, people were trying to reach out and nobody could get a hold of her. And then like a couple weeks later is when I found out about Kay, you know, requesting that welfare.
Do you remember how you found out about Kay
requesting it? I think it was just like I had heard, like it was on the news. All of a sudden it was like, these are missing kids. And I was just like, I can't believe this. And then, so Tylee had gone to our girls. So she had moved out of our ward congregation, but she was still friends with everybody. And so it was in June before she was murdered that she had gone to like girls camp with our girls. And I was actually kind of surprised that her mom let her go. And I can share a little bit about that. Because I knew that they were, had talked about moving or, you know, like there was like a transition going on, but she was like, I would rather go with this ward. And we were like, yeah, like, it's awesome. You should totally come. I didn't end up going, but like my daughter did. And yeah, she had other leaders obviously that went. And so she went and came back, and then all that happened with Charles. And then there was a period of time where she spent time with like girls in our ward, like where she spent the night, because there was stuff that was going on in their family.
Okay. So she'd like spend the night with friends.
Yeah. She would spend the night with friends. And I do think, and this is just my like opinion about the situation, but
your opinions are important. Your thoughts.
So Lori obviously created a divide in Tylee's, in any relationship with a man for Tylee.
Triangulation.
Yeah. And she just kind of butt heads with Charles. And Charles was a wonderful man. He was so nice, so caring. And I think he would have had a wonderful relationship with her had that been nurtured and allowed. But Lori wanted Tylee to trust Lori. And Tylee was loyal. I mean, she was not only a loyal friend, she was a loyal daughter and she was a loyal sister. And I think that's partly why I just feel heartbroken. Just the idea that she trusted her mom so much. And I know that they didn't always get along either. I mean, there were times that I think she was opinionated. I mean, Tylee just had like a fun personality, but she was a little bit sassy. She wasn't the type to just roll over and like not share her opinion.
Yeah.
But
sounds familiar.
She just was a teenager, and I never saw her as rude. I never saw her as like argumentative or combative, but she was opinionated, and she let her opinion be known about Charles because Lori didn't want her to like him. And so right. she didn't. And I'm sure she was the same way about Chad.
Yes.
And not necessarily because of something her mom said, but because you can feel the evil coming from him. And she wasn't dumb. And I think that's partly why she felt so, you know, protective of JJ. And that's who she was. And yeah. and she...
Strong-willed.
She was strong-willed, and she was fun, though. She was so fun and so funny. And my daughter, so last week when I, or like over the weekend when I was talking to my daughter, I was, you know, I don't think any of those girls are really ready to talk much. I kind of mentioned that before. I think they're, some of them don't even know fully what happened. And some of them are still trying to process, and it's, like, it's a hard thing to face, I think.
Of course.
And I think a lot of people saw her friend Ashlyn, who was a very good friend of Tylee, just in that split moment, she was able to testify. And I was talking to my daughter, Noelle, and I was like, what can I share about her? And she said, you know, she goes, what Ashlyn said was true. Like, she goes, I always could talk to her about boys, about funny stuff. She goes, I just remember being in church all the time. You know, you're supposed to be listening. And she said, we would always send each other like funny memes or like just trying to make each other laugh. And she's like, we would always get in trouble. And then we would just look at each other and laugh. And like everything was, there's like so many little inside jokes. Like she's opens up her Snapchat and she's just like reading these messages. Sorry.
It's okay.
If the cycle of yo-yo dieting is familiar to you, you're not alone. What if you could take a weekly shot to lose weight and keep it off? That's where Ro comes in. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Ro Body Program pairs a weekly shot with lifestyle changes so you can lose weight and keep it off. Ro handles it all, even the insurance paperwork. You can sign up online from home with no doctor's visits. The average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. Go to ro.co/hidden and you'll pay just $99 for the first month and $145 a month after that. The medication costs are separate. Once again, that's ro.co/hidden.
A quick word from today's sponsor. Did you know that the average dieter will try 162 diets over the course of their lives? Sono Bello is the only way to permanently lose unwanted fat and inches. Sono Bello doctors are masters in micro laser fat removal. Wherever you have stubborn fat, tummy, sides, thighs, arms, it's going away permanently in one visit. You can also ask about their modern techniques to eliminate sagging, loose skin. When it comes to feeling good, I always say do what feels best for you and only you. No one else. And if you've ever thought about or are curious about the personal benefits of Sono Bello, you can schedule a free consultation to learn all about micro laser fat removal. Sono Bello is actually running a special right now. Visit sonobello.com/hiddentruecrime. Sono Bello, BELLO.com/hiddentruecrime to schedule your free consultation. Visit sonobello.com/hiddentruecrime. SONOBELLO.com/hiddentruecrime. A quick word from our sponsor. During Chad Daybell's trial, many continue to ask where I shop. So I am finally coming clean with my wardrobe hack. I rent most of the clothes I wear. Armoire has allowed me to avoid expensive luggage fees as I've traveled back and forth to Boise for Chad's trial. And with a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you build the perfect wardrobe with high quality brands just for you. You take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet delivered straight to your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes and ready for someone else to do your laundry, you just swap them out for fresh styles. Armoire has allowed me to branch out and try new styles out of my comfort zone. And I love shopping for new clothes every month. So renting from Armoire is a win-win. And then I send it back for more. Right now, our gems can give Armoire a try to get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/hiddentruecrime. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/hiddentruecrime to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
It's been a lot for everyone to process.
She's just
not just yeah. Tom's friends.
She's just reading these messages of just funny jokes and just her personality and sense of humor. And she's just like, I can't believe that she's gone, you know. She goes, I remember one time she had put on her Snapchat story, she's like, message me if you need a pick-me-up or something like that. She goes, I remember messaging her being like, I need one, you know. And she's like, she messaged me back and she was like, she's like, Noelle, you're the best, you're so sweet, you're so beautiful, you've got this. Like, it was, I think it was like about finals or something like that. And she said, you've got this and you're so smart and you're just the best person. And I just love you so much. And it was like this huge, long, you know, sweet message. And I can only imagine there was more than just Noelle who was messaging her. And yeah. It was just such a, like, that's who she is. Like, she's not somebody who was grouchy or, you know, she was rude or trying to argue or fight. Like, she was so sweet and she was such a good listener and such a good friend. And like I said, like, she just was loyal. Like, she was protective of her friends and she was protective of her brother. And like, as sad as it is, she was protective of the relationship with her mom too. Yeah. And so that just brings a whole new level of just the heartbreak of all this. So I feel like there was one other thing I was going to share about her.
And if you need a reminder, we can keep going.
Yeah, let's keep going. Okay. And I'll
remember. Thank you for sharing about Tylee. I want to share that Julie's daughter was one of the ones that wrote something for the memorial. That was,
yeah, she kept it kind of short. She said, oh, I wish I would have maybe written more, but I think she just was trying to just stress like what a good person Tylee was and just like how sweet she really is and how fun she really was. And like, I know her other friend Emma also shared about that, and it was, I think she was talking about how JJ was in, because a lot of her did have to do with JJ. And so it was sweet. Like, I think she had shared that he was in a primary program and just how Tylee had kind of moved up, you know, to watch him and just cheer him on and like try to make him smile. And she just did love him so much. And it was apparent in her daily interaction with him. And even Noelle just was saying it was just so sweet. Like, she would go over there and she would talk about how funny the dog was. And she's like, I know he was a service dog, but we would always laugh because he would sometimes be inappropriate. Maybe. And like, yeah, try to like hump our legs. And then Tylee would just die laughing instead of trying to get him to stop. And she's like, we would just laugh about funny stuff like that. And so she just was like, it was so just sweet how she would care for JJ and like mess with him and play with him, and also just would spend time like loving on him. And he loved her so much too. And he could feel her love for him. And so it, you know, reminiscing and thinking about all those things has been good, because she isn't how she was found. She is so much more than that. And they both are. And Tammy as well. They lived a life that was full and happy and important. And I just hope that, like, as time goes on, that we can remember those things about them and not how horrific their situation was in the end.
You mentioned discovering JJ and Tylee were missing, two children you loved. Did you jump to worst fears then? You said you're always suspicious. Or what did you think, or what were your...
I did because I think that, again, like I ask questions.
Maybe you're a realist too.
And I remember having a conversation.
I thought the worst as well.
Yeah. I thought at first when I found out about Tammy, this was the day I was at church the next day, and I pulled two friends of mine into the kitchen area, and I said, okay, I'm going to give you this scenario, and I want you to tell me if I'm overreacting. And so I shared the details of what I had found out when Tammy had passed away. And they both said, no, absolutely not. That is suspicious. So I felt a little bit like, okay, validated that I wasn't just necessarily jumping into conclusions, but like, it's okay to ask questions, and it's okay to like further find out details of why you feel this way. And so, yeah, so I did kind of at first feel like maybe I'm reading into this, but then I realized, no, I'm not.
No, you're not. Yeah.
And also when it came to like with the kids, so I connected with my daughter quite a bit, and I was asking her, like, there were actually times before, like, so we met Tylee in 2016. Noelle became friends with her in 2016. So they were in high school together. They had a couple classes together. And I remember picking up Noelle from school, and I was like, I don't know how we got on the topic, but she would talk about how Tylee was missing school a lot, and how I said, why? What's wrong with her? And she was like, she's in the hospital again. I'm like, why? Like, that's so random. Like, for a girl her age, why is she in the hospital? And she said, she has so many stomach problems. And I was like, there was a little part of me that was like, that doesn't make sense either. And I think too, and I know I had told you this, that I did a report on Munchausen by proxy. And so I was like, I wonder, like, there was a part, like, you kind of like think it and then it goes away.
Right.
So I was like, that's so sad though. She's missing school. She's missing, like, you know, so much. And she had eventually had to like check out of school because she was gone so much. And so, you know, hindsight, I'm thinking like that makes, I definitely think something was going on there. My opinion, obviously, speculating on that, but I feel like I'm like, it's one of those things where like you kind of have to try to connect the dots with what you know. And so that was one thing that I was like, okay, that's a little bit weird. And then I remember Noelle telling me, I had asked her, because I rented out for Noelle's 16th birthday, I rented out a skating rink for her party.
So fun.
And she was like, I'm nervous people aren't going to come, you know? And so we're like going through our list. And I remember asking her, like, what about Tylee? Is she going to come? And she was like, yeah, I think so. She's like, but when I asked her, she said, I don't know. I think I'm going to be able to come, but I don't know because my mom said I'm sick.
Wow.
And so at the time, again, I was like, her mom said she's sick. That's weird. Wow. Like, why, what does that mean? And again, you kind of just feel it. And then you're just like, okay. And she ended up coming and it was great. And she was fine, you know, but again, hindsight is 20/20, and you think, okay, like something might've been going on deeper there. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. So there was a lot of thoughts afterwards. Like, I definitely did not, like, when I saw people talking, like, the kids are probably fine. I mean, I, with everyone else, was hoping.
Sure.
But I felt like this is not, you know, this is not looking good, because I thought, Lori, I'm figuring Lori is a little too selfish to allow herself to go to jail versus produce the kids.
Right.
So I just was like, if, you know, once that happened and she didn't produce the kids, then I did not feel good about that either. So there was, I mean, this has been a lot of thought, a lot of talking, a lot of trying to figure, put the pieces together and what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. And
nearly 5 years of this.
Yeah. Just why?
Yeah. Which you probably still haven't answered.
Yeah. I just don't think it will ever make sense to me because it's something that just, it's crazy. So it's like, you can't make sense of crazy. So, yeah.
You know, with your suspicions, I have to ask, you know, you knew Chad, you're suspicious right away that maybe something happened with Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
What did you know about Chad? Was there something that made you suspicious of him?
So Chad was, I wasn't super close with Chad because honestly, I'm not sure he was really super close with very many people.
Okay. But
I mean, I was quite a bit younger, but I just remember as I grew up and, you know, kind of, I got married and started having my own family, but I just remember he's always kind of talked about having visions and that, and he would gift us his books and stuff like that to read.
Here's my book.
Yeah. Which he would like sign them and then gift them to us. And I mean, I never thought he would murder, you know,
right.
I thought he was a weird guy and I never believed any of his visions when he would say, oh, Grandma Cooper, you know, this and that. Like I never believed it. I never thought that was real. I just figured he wanted people to see him that way. I mean, it's like, okay, whatever. Like I just kind of blew stuff like that off. But I know, you know, bothered my mom a little just because like he's talking, it's like if Grandma Cooper was going to, you know, appear to anyone, it probably wouldn't be Chad.
Right.
So
sorry, Chad.
And he, I felt like it was manipulative for him to say things about that because I think he knew that it would, as far as like Tammy, you know, I don't think like she bought into everything. I mean, that's just my personal opinion, but I do think she respected like when he, and at the beginning, I also think that it was, you know, not as in depth. I think that grew with time, but
his beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think she respected him and she loved him and she had a family with him. And so, you know, she kind of was like, okay, you know, whatever.
Well, and if you don't want to share, that's okay. But when we talked before this interview, you kind of shared that you think that maybe they weren't even that close, but they had a family together. And
yeah, I mean, like, I wonder if I feel like maybe they grew apart.
Yes.
That she kind of ended up creating a life outside of her marriage that brought her happiness and closeness to other people. And
right.
I do feel like based on Chad's looks on his face, when he sees her friends testify, it makes me think that he didn't realize how loved she was.
Right. Makes him angry, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he thought moving her to Idaho, she wouldn't be by family and people she grew up with who knew her. And so I think he thought that he'd be able to isolate her and that he could manipulate her further. And she created a life for herself. She created a family at school and people who loved her, and she did things that she enjoyed and, you know, found joy in other things. And I do think that he maybe had disconnected from her a long time ago.
Yeah, I suspect that too.
Yeah.
And she was busy being the breadwinner and working hard and raising children, and that's what she loved. Would you say that's kind of like where she probably focused her life?
I mean, she's always been a teacher. She's always loved it. She's always loved, like, and it's interesting when people describe her, especially if they like say she's an introvert, like obviously she maybe isn't the type of person to, you know, go tell everyone everything all at once, but she was somebody who had friends and she loved being a teacher. I know a lot of people saw that video that was posted, which that video was actually from like 9-ish years ago.
It's Tammy having fun at work in Springville, right?
Yeah, it's in Springville. And yeah, so like she was up for having fun and doing fun things. And she always had lots of friends and she's always been involved. In high school, she was involved. You know, she did a lot of clubs and she's always been organized. She's always been a good worker and she's always, you know, had a lot of friends and always tried to find joy, you know, in whatever situation she's been in. At least that's what I remember. You know, when she was in high school, I was like this punky teenager that was just looking up to her and my cousin Patty. And I would, you know, just want to be like with, like do whatever I could, you know, be with them or be like them. And like everything that they were doing was like so fun. They were dating and like, you know, all the fun things. And I'm just like this goofy teenager that, or even younger, like just looking up to them. So my observation always was that like she always was just busy and fun and did a lot of fun things. And then once we got, like I got married and had kids, like we could relate on another level because we're doing the same things, you know? And so there was that kind of connection as we got older. But like I said, those interactions were few and far between because we lived in different states and like, you know, it's hard to get together, but
yeah,
but we tried to when we could.
I love that. You know, we've had so many laughing fits with each other, with yeah. your mother and you yeah. and me. And we find this joy among the darkness that, you know, we've been here sitting in a child every day. And I remember your mom sharing about how much she would laugh with Tammy. And that tells me a lot about her because I don't think Chad has a sense of humor. I mean, have right. you ever seen? Correct. So you can confirm that.
I can confirm that. Not that I experienced.
Yeah. And so to know that Tammy did have this sense of humor and that she would giggle with all of you yes. and laugh.
Oh, yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Yes.
To know who Tammy is. Yeah. And how different she was.
Yeah. I just remember one time when I was like kind of little, it was at my house. And we did like this kind of like a talent show. And I just remember her and my cousin Patty were like singing a song together and it was just hilarious. And they were giggling and having so much fun. And we were all laughing and it was so funny. And that's, she was like that. I don't know how much she was like that with Chad, because like yeah. you said, he wasn't somebody that found her funny or like amusing.
Right.
But she was like, she totally had such a funny sense of humor and was not afraid to be silly.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Sorry about my squeaky chair every time I move. thank you for helping us get to know her. You mentioned she was always a teacher. Tell us about serving with Lori in primary, because that's something that a lot of people are shocked to learn, that not only was Lori this mother, she worked in the church in the primary, and mm-hmm. she also did that in Hawaii too. They'd always call her to the primary. That means to work with the children, and the children would love her. But tell me about working with her.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that came to mind when I was thinking about Lori. I actually really liked Lori. She was a very likable person. I think at the time when I met her, she was just starting to read Chad's books. And okay. I do know that Charles was talking to people about him saying she's changing. Like some, okay. she's obsessed with the second coming. And obviously, I don't think people realize the degree that that was happening. But yeah, so I think it was just like just starting. But she was great with the kids and she was like fun and energetic. And she was at the time, you know, super interactive and we liked her. We liked her. But there were two things. I know I've talked about this before, but there were two times when I remember this specifically, and this was before I found anything. It's just like my suspicious nature, I guess.
Okay.
But
that's a good thing. I would say that that's actually good for you to be suspicious. We call that pot stirring or just reality.
Yeah.
Looking at the evidence.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just remember one time after church, you know, Charles would pick JJ up from his class, and JJ was he had a lot of energy. I mean, he always had his backpack. He always had his things, and he kind of was just all over the place. So Charles, I remember this happened two times. Charles walked in with JJ, and we were just cleaning up and whatnot. Like, church was over, and Lori was talking to somebody, and Charles was kind of waiting right there, and he was trying to get her attention because I think he needed help with something for JJ. And she looked at him and just, like, completely ignored him and blew him off.
Oh, wow.
And I was just standing there, and I was like, oh my gosh. I look at Charles I'm kind of trying to act cool because I found it embarrassing. Like, I'm sure he was embarrassed, you know,
and by that. Probably secondhand embarrassed for
him. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so awkward. And I look at him, and he kind of smiles and kind of just is like, and then she just didn't talk to him, didn't acknowledge him, nothing.
And he was just looking for help with JJ.
And he was he was just trying to get her attention, like, whether it was to say, I'm going to go to the car or whatever.
Yeah.
Just like, let's go. And so that happened two times when I actually noticed, and I was like, oh, that's really awkward.
Huh.
But now it makes sense that there was definitely a disconnect happening there as well.
Friction.
Yeah, definite friction. And also another thing that I'm realizing too about Lori, I was like, you know, I really liked her. I wanted to keep in touch with her when she left, which I'm so grateful in the end that didn't work out. But I realized she didn't really connect with people in our ward.
Huh.
She connected with the young girls. Like, there were several of Tylee's friends that were close with her.
Okay.
That have been very traumatized and devastated in a different way because they bought into Lori's teachings.
Oh, wow.
And I think that when they found out about the kids, they were like, there's absolutely no way she would ever harm her kids. Like, they were, when they found out that the kids had been murdered, I think it broke them. So there are still so she connected with the girls that spent time at her home with Tylee. And I think she was trying to manipulate those girls.
And so when you say her teachings, what are we talking, light and dark? Are we talking married in a past life?
Well, I know she was trying to give blessings at that point.
Okay.
And she was giving Tylee blessings. Like, when Tylee would be like sick or whatever, she was trying to give Tylee blessings. But Tylee actually was not buying into that. She was like saying, like she didn't buy into it.
Yeah. And Tylee liked church. She liked going to church.
Yeah.
But she wasn't buying into these extremes.
I don't think she was buying into the extremes at all.
Right. I don't think she was either.
No. But her mom was trying to, it's very reminiscent of Chad. I do think that her mom was trying to start manipulating that, you know, those in with the religion and twist it and make them think different things. And Tylee just was not one. I mean, like I said, she trusted her mom, but I do think there was conflicting feelings there.
These days, I admittedly struggle to find comfort in my body as I have been experiencing symptoms of hormonal imbalance. If anyone can relate, I recommend Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause symptoms, but it's also for any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. Hormone Harmony contains herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, bloating and gas. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HIDDENTRUECRIME at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HIDDENTRUECRIME for 15% off today. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Investing can feel intimidating and people don't know where to start. And many think you need a lot of money to invest. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You do not need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. For me, investing often gets put off because it doesn't seem urgent and busy lives mean little time to research and manage investments. But you can head to acorns.com/hiddentruecrime or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement compensation provided incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/hiddentruecrime.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
So I realized, like, Lori really didn't have friends, women that she connected with, and she... Like, I can't think of one person that she ever hung out with the whole time she was there. And she moved into a ward with some of our best friends. And that's when she started kind of being more vocal and people were like, she's weird.
Okay.
But one thing that is actually so crazy that when I think back is like, here we are, we were in primary and every week, probably almost every week, we would be using Tammy's book, Tiny Talks, to use for our primary.
Wow.
Meanwhile, Lori is reading Chad's books and starting to communicate with him.
Go ahead.
And no, I don't know if Chad had any idea. Like, I don't know. I know he knew that we lived in Arizona, but I'm sure that he had no idea that there was that connection.
Did your primary use it because Lori recommended it?
Or? No, I'm not even, they just had it. And I think it was just always a source that, like, if somebody didn't have something prepared, like a kid didn't have something prepared, we would always just pull that out. And it was the cutest book and we loved it. But I mean, who knew?
Wow.
Yeah.
Who knew? And you were probably very proud to be her cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that? Like, mm-hmm. That's my cousin's book.
Yeah, I actually didn't realize it at first. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is Tammy's book. And yeah, like, I'm like, that's my cousin's book. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool, you know, yeah. It was a cute little book and I think people still use it. I don't know if it's accessible still now, but yeah.
And if you don't want to go here, it's okay. Cause I know there's a lot to process, mm-hmm. but where were you when you learned of the children's fate that June day?
Oh, June
2020.
That was a hard day, actually. I mean, I think we were all on, I think I was actually several places because I think I was like talking to my mom. I was trying to find Noelle. I was trying to, you know, like, I remember like sitting on pins and needles, like is waiting for them to confirm whether or not that was human remains and the identity. And I think I was actually just at home when I found out that it was them. And still, we didn't know like tons of details, like obviously we know now, but I just remember having to tell my daughter and just completely breaking down and just really not knowing what to say or how to say that. And it just felt so devastating to finally know the reality of what had happened to them.
Yeah, right. This trial has been really hard. There's been a lot of details. The Woodcocks have both said it was even harder than they anticipated. I was sitting next to you during some really, really difficult testimony of Tylee. And in my opinion, and this is me, not you, but mm-hmm. in my opinion, I think some of the worst parts of this crime have to do with Tylee. And not to diminish anything else, but I worry. You know, I worry. Have you?
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I get so emotional thinking about it, but I think just I was there last year and saw the pictures, and I think it has been just as bad to hear the detail of everything that especially last Thursday, I was not prepared for that. And I think the hardest part for me, honestly, is knowing that it didn't happen after she died. All the horrific things that happened either as she was dying as a form of killing her or shortly after. And to get to the point she was is just, it's just so awful to think about. And I think for me, I was telling Noelle, I said, I think the hardest thing for me is that I'm sitting here in June of 2020 celebrating my daughter's graduation while Tylee is getting dug up from the ground. It just, like, it killed me that that was her, you know, her ending. It just, it's so tragic. And so, yeah, it's just been so hard to think about and to hear those details. And I'm so grateful for law enforcement and for their dedication to knowing their testimony and like being able to recount it. It's made such a huge difference in the jury understanding the gravity of what happened. And I'm just, as hard as it is to hear, it's just, I know it's necessary, but it's just tragic.
Yeah.
And hard. It's been hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has it been hard knowing Chad? Not just so you don't just know the victims, you also know the people responsible. Has it been hard to know Lori and or Chad?
Yeah, like it's interesting because I just like when I see Chad, I just feel rage. Like I'm mad at what has transpired and in the way that the planning that took. And I look at Lori and I, you know, last year when I was here, it was just like, I felt so disgusted because I'm like, your daughter loved you so much. Like she would have done anything for her mom.
She even moved to Rexburg.
She didn't really want to go. And she had lots of friends saying, you don't have to go. You can stay here. You can live with us. Like you can graduate and like, just hang
just
out.
Stay.
And I think she knew what was, I think she was scared of what could happen. And I also think she knew what really happened with Charles. And I think it was not a great situation for her in the end. And so, yeah, like I think about the rage I feel towards both of them because I'm, and the greed that I see, because I'm like, you could have just gotten divorced and been together and actually lived life together if that's what you really wanted. But you wanted the money. And it's like, it just is, it's just heartbreaking. And so, yeah, like sitting in the courtroom, watching his hurt as she giggled and she flirted with her attorneys, which I'm sure was annoying to them as well. And so, you know, when Chad gets a smirk on his face or like it pisses me off.
Yeah. Rage is a great adjective. It's what I
It's rage. You do feel rage. I mean, I have intrusive thoughts where I think, what if I just yelled something or like just did something, you know, and you think, what could I get away with? You know, obviously I would never want to disrupt or hurt the trial, but you know, you have those thoughts of just, you know, as Lori's saying, Tammy was her friend, like, trust me, we were all sitting there and trying to hold each other back because
during her sentencing,
during her sentencing, it's, you feel rage for somebody who has the audacity to say something like that.
Yeah. I know. And what they did to your family, this is a forever part of your family. Your mother explained that to me once, like, this is like someone coming in and just doing something to your family that, you know, it's just
like at the end of it, it's like, there's still pieces that are broken for us.
Right.
And, you know, for me, knowing both sides, it's like a double whammy. It's just the heartbreak is just so real on both sides. And, you know, I see my own daughter and the life that she's creating for herself and all the great things she's going to be able to experience. Like, she's married and she's going to be able to have kids and like that joy and happiness, like, Tylee deserved all that. And so, like, she wasn't family in that way. So it, you know, but I still, it still means something. And like, I think about Tammy and I'm like, she was just starting like the best phase of her life with her grandkids. And she was close with her kids and she was happy. She was doing all the things that she, you know, apart from Chad, like, she was creating an awesome life for herself. And like she was finally getting to experience like a fun stage of life.
And maybe even getting rid of her mother's grasp a little bit. That would be the next step.
And so, it's just, that's, you know, we want justice and we'll all be so grateful once that, you know, happens, but it's doesn't bring anyone back at the end of this. So that's a hard reality that unfortunately is just part of, you know, the process for us. So,
there are a few questions. If anybody has any questions, are you okay to take a couple questions? So if anybody has any questions, use like the question mark emoji. It helps us. And I did star a couple. I've been mostly listening.
And focusing.
And I should have gotten you a tissue. Everyone's like, get her a tissue.
Oh, no, it's
and
okay.
And I don't have one. Are you okay? Right.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
Get one for
Thank you.
You.
No, I'm okay.
Here are a few that I pinned. Has Chad looked at you in court? And maybe we could ask this about Lori, too.
Yeah, when I walked in, so Lori did look at me, and I'm sure she was so confused about why I was there, but I'm sure she figured it out pretty quick. She did look at me, but it was very brief and it was not often. Chad, the first time I arrived in court, Chad was like, he did look at me and looked away. He did look at me today and I just gave him a really dirty look, actually. And I didn't look away because I wanted him to see that like, I'm not afraid of you.
And not intimidated.
I know you may think you're fooling people, but I know that you're not.
Yes.
We know, our family knows that you're full of it.
Yes.
So you're not fooling anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is actually, No, not that. Sorry, we're not going to ask those questions. But so, it's still going so fast, guys. There was one about somebody said, if you could say something to Chad right now, what would it be? And I tried to
I think that's what it would be for me. Like, I probably would use some swear words that I wouldn't say here, but I would say, you're not fooling anybody. And I would tell him he's a coward. And I would also, I think, like, nobody believes in your crap. Nobody believes your, I think empathy for him is not a thing. He doesn't go, he doesn't care that people care about Tammy. So I think the way to hit him is to basically discredit everything that he believes is important, which is that he's a prophet, that he's, you know, somebody important. And I would just be like, you are a nobody and nobody cares about you. Nobody ever wants to see you again. We all want you to rot in hell. So
there you go. Thank you.
That's what I would say.
And that's what you would say. Right. He's not fooling anyone.
Yeah. He's not fooling anybody.
I agree. I really do you think he feels like he is, like, when you see him?
Today when Detective or Lieutenant Hermosillo came in, he got like the weirdest smirk on his face, and he kind of has done that recently a couple times, which has been very weird. But in those moments, I feel like he thinks he is, because it's weird, because he doesn't show a lot of emotion, and he's actually never really been like that as far as what I've, you know, noticed. Right. But I do feel like there's moments where his body language shows that he feels confident and he feels like he has the upper hand.
Uh-huh. I agree. So I am getting a trend with questions.
Yeah.
People are saying the kids test about Tammy. That's really all we want to know. And other people are saying, how do you feel about Garth and Emma that testified? And there's also this question about, you know, maybe Garth's inconsistencies. And then there's this question. So the trend I'm seeing is, I think people want to in general know, let's just focus on one thing, how you felt about
the kids' testimony.
Emma and Garth. And I know you need to be careful too. Don't say anything that you don't want to say.
So the short answer is that I don't believe they were telling the truth.
Okay.
I believe that they are trying to protect their dad, whether it be, you know, so there's that. I do think that they've been influenced by Chad, and I think it's sort of not surprising since he's controlled them that way their whole lives. Like, they believe him, they trust him. Do I think they maybe know the truth? And that's a hard thing to accept and to swallow. I mean, I wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
I think it's sad, you know, the way that Tammy was portrayed, you know, during that time, but
That was hard to listen to.
Yeah. I think that was hard for us too, but I also, it's hard because, like, I love them and I feel for them, you know, and I can't imagine what their life has been like the last 4 years. So my heart goes out to them, but it's definitely disappointing to hear.
Yes. And this might not be something you know, but going to that, to Chad, I always put down Tammy in front of the kids. Any opinion on that? I know you weren't around.
The kids did not hate her. The kids loved her.
Thank you.
The kids love her. I know they love her. I just think
Tammy
loved them. Her whole life was her kids, and she loved being a mom, and they didn't hate her. I know that it sounds conflicting. This is just also my opinion. It's not like I've been around them a lot. They've been in Idaho for a lot of years. But I do know how Tammy felt about her kids. And I know that they love their mom. And I know it's hard to hear, but I also, it's one of those things where you can't really, I don't know why they've done what they've said, what they've said. I think they're grasping at straws because it's scary to lose two parents.
I agree with you. I'll never forget a Facebook post that we saw of Garth the day after his mm-hmm. mother passed away, just mourning her loss. Mm-hmm. And he even said on stand that he was a mama's, but I was very close.
They were very close.
So mm-hmm. I don't doubt that ever. And it's heartbreaking, the situation they're in yeah. now.
Yeah. And I don't want to comment too much just because I don't know enough of what they're going through. But I do know that they were all completely heartbroken when their mom passed away. So,
thank you for sharing that. Natalie is asking, Julie, how are you and your family doing and your other family members? Hope you're able to have some peace of mind knowing this is so hard, from Akron, Ohio.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you for asking. Good. Like, I think because we're in the thick of it right now, it's hard. It's brought a lot to like the surface. Being in court, you know, from the time that Lori's trial ended and this trial, we had like a little break and some normalcy and stuff. But I think just being in the thick of it, and it just kind of brings up all the feelings again. So we're okay. Like, my husband's amazing. He's so supportive, and I'm so grateful for him. And, you know, my kids have, like, they're amazing, and they're supportive of me being here, which I appreciate so much, just because it's hard to be away. It's hard. I don't know if I was telling you or I was telling somebody else. Or maybe it was Kay. I was talking to Kay today. I'm going to be missing a wedding this week, and it just makes me so angry a little bit that I'm missing things that are important to me because of something that Chad has done. But it is important for me to be here, and I will be okay. Like, we're getting through it, and it, you know, we'll be okay. It's just, I think we're just in the thick of it. Like, you feel the same way. It's like you're all consumed every day. Right. So it's nice to have those breaks with family and friends and find ways to laugh.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I agree. And you guys have been a joy for the Woodcocks too. I want to say, you know, being able to see Kay and Larry laugh with your mom and with you. And
oh yeah.
Because there's so many tears. I think it has been, you guys have been a blessing, I think, to many during this really difficult time.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that has been a silver lining for sure, is finding the people that have become family to us through this. And, you know, you, Kay, Larry, there's like, I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful because my mom, I haven't been out here very much, but my mom's been here almost every day. And so for her to be able to have people to relate to and just decompress and laugh and spend time together while she's here, I'm so grateful for that. So definitely, out of tragedy came these relationships, and even some of the jurors from last year, like getting to know them and just, I don't know, you connect instantly.
That's right. You, getting to know the jurors from last year, Lori's trial
has been really eye opening, I think, for us.
Good. Yeah, that's good to hear. Yeah, and some of them so dedicated. They're so dedicated mm-hmm. to justice. What service they did, they didn't want to do that by, you know, doing their civic duty. But they're now so dedicated to justice and understanding and caring about you. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
The jurors. Thank you if any of you jurors are listening.
Yeah. And I'm just so grateful that, like, and this also makes me so emotional too. Just like, I know, I can imagine how hard it was having to be away from their families and not be able to discuss any of this. At least we can talk and we can share our opinions and share things at the end of the day. But knowing that these jurors are not able to do that, like, I can't imagine how hard that is. And I just am so grateful for everyone that has taken on this responsibility and taken it seriously and realized, like, how much that means to all of us, because without that, we would, you know, we don't know what would happen.
Do you think that there was some control on Chad's part talking to Emma every day? Do you feel like he's doing that to kind of control the narrative?
Oh yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think I mean, and this is, again, my opinion. It's not because I know anything, but I think 100% that if he still thinks his kids believe him, that's what's worth it to him to go to trial and to do all this to save face for his kids.
There you go. Yeah. You know, a lot of times too, one reason, if this is the case, it wouldn't be the first time, but there are times where men who are convicted of killing their spouse, a lot of times they won't plead guilty sometimes or take a plea deal because they just refuse to even remotely let
accept
the children
responsibility.
Yeah, accept responsibility in the least bit, which is so, he's just refusing.
Well, it just kind of shows you how delusional that thinking is, because all the evidence, the kids being found on his yard, like, it's weird to me that he thinks that through all of that, he's convinced people that he was not a part of that. I just feel like his thinking is delusional, and he's always been able to convince his kids. So he's sticking with it.
Yeah. All right. And then one last.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Sending love to you, Noelle.
Oh, you guys are so sweet. Thank you.
Do you think this end of the trial will help start more healing? And I appreciate what you said about how there will always be.
Yeah.
There will always be, I wanted to say a tear, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to use a rip or a tear because of the veil. Like, there will always be something, a wound.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think, which I actually appreciate you saying that we don't always have to have this, find this perfect healing or this closure, like, you know, but do you feel that being here or maybe the end of this could help with some healing or processing?
Oh yeah. I mean, to be able to see justice served will be such a huge blessing, and definitely, like, we're all waiting for that. And, you know, obviously with time, you know, we'll be able to resume our lives, but this will always be something that when we're together, you know, we talk about it, or, you know, we talk about Tammy, we talk about our memories, like, it's always going to be a part of our life. So it's like, even just being here, like, I'm so involved, even when I'm at home in Arizona, like, I'm watching because I'm just so invested and I don't feel like I can not. And so it's, when you're in it, you're just like, it's your life. But once it's over and we, you know, God willing, get a guilty verdict and see that process play out, like, that'll be a joyful day and for many reasons. Yeah. For me personally. Yeah.
Yeah. And I sometimes too, I think, you know, as hard as it is to hear the details, sometimes that's part of the healing too, because when we put our head in the sand, You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's painful to hear that. Like, I'll never forget sitting near you when those horrible things last week were said about Tylee. Mm-hmm. And I felt the sadness and the pain, and I could only imagine what you were thinking. And at the same time, I think, how brave of you, maybe that's the right attribute, how brave of you to sit through that, because so many people won't.
Yeah.
It's too hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
And it's really brave. And I think that's a way to sort of maybe find some healing too, is to face it first.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure. Like, for me, I am grateful to know. That would probably drive me crazy not knowing, I just because of my personality. But yeah, they're definitely, yeah, it's a process for sure.
Yeah.
And knowing for me, I've had, like, I feel the sadness. I'll always feel that sadness. But yeah, like, it has helped me process, I think, things as well. Yeah.
And can we ask how Tammy's siblings are doing?
Oh, I think, like, kind of the same thing. I mean, I know Samantha was, you know, she's also a teacher, and she teaches theater and had, you know, like a production at the end of the year. So, like, she's busy, and like, I know Tammy's dad, my uncle Ron, you know, he keeps up as much as possible. I think they keep up when they can as well. I'm sure they're watching the live streams and the updates at home. And I know when I wasn't here, when they were here testifying and my cousins were here, but I know that was a hard day. And I think it's hard. Like, you can't ever imagine losing your sister that way. And they're very private, just in general.
I understand.
And I think, like, nobody wants to grieve on a public level. It's hard, you know, putting yourself out there for critics and criticism. And so,
and no victim ever asks to be thrown onto the public stage.
Yeah.
You know, people, so I totally get that too. We all have this expectation, but crime is, no victim asks to be a victim. Yeah. No victim expects this. No one wants to say, oh, I guess I have to go public with my grief.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be expected.
And, like, I mean, they've never been through that before. Like,
right.
I don't know. Like, it's hard to know how to act or how to respond. Like, you're just going through it the best you can.
Right.
And I think that's where they're at. Like, they're just trying to get through this trial and find some peace also.
Yeah. All right. I keep saying last question. I shouldn't say that, but I appreciated this one. And for those that didn't see my lunch live, I did do a lunch live at the end of today and shared a bit of your, I didn't really share how you felt the jury reacted to the end of trial today. And to Chad, what did you notice? I'll ask you, cause you were sitting in court today. And then for those that understand, it's not the end of trial tomorrow. It's the end of arguments.
Yes.
And so tomorrow starts, closing arguments. I guess not the end of the argument. Tomorrow's closing arguments or conclusions.
Yeah.
And then the jury deliberates. So we're nearing the end on day 30 of Chad Daybell's trial. What did you notice in court today? The jury reacting and Chad?
I actually think the jury was ready for a full day, just coming off the weekend. And I'm sure they're kind of chomping at the bit to, like, get this moving. But they ended early, and I think we were kind of talking about how they seemed a little like, wait, we're done already. I honestly thought Lieutenant Hermosillo was going to be up there longer.
I did too.
So I didn't expect to end today. I'm actually glad though, because I would like to be here when the verdict happens, if possible. But I do think they were, like, ready for a full day, and they were kind of let down a little bit. They seemed kind of like, oh, because we had just come back from a break, and then Hermosillo was on the stand for only like 5-10 minutes maybe.
Right. No cross.
Yeah. So I think they're ready though. Like, I think some of them are, I mean, they're pretty good about keeping their faces, but sometimes you can see when they're done with Pryor, or they're just like, they kind of chuckle. Today when Pryor stormed off, I noticed a couple of them kind of smirking a little bit, like
oh,
like he just did something, like they Pryor kind of thought he was doing something pretty dramatic there, but it was kind of funny. but yeah, I think like they're ready. They seem ready.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Tomorrow, I think we'll be good.
It will be. And do you feel like the prosecution has done a good job?
I mean, here's the thing, like they've had to lay out this whole storyline and put together all these pieces and prove every point with the evidence. And I can't imagine how difficult that must have been.
I know.
Trying to make it make sense because
I know.
Talking with the few jurors from last year, realizing they don't have the context that we have as just spectators and like family members and stuff. So they're not able to Google, like there's a lot that has to make sense to them. And like for us, we're sitting there thinking, oh yeah, we know that, we know that, we know the backstory. But like, if they're not familiar with the case, like they literally have to understand the context that it's being laid out. So I do think that, I mean, I'm not an expert by any stretch, but I am grateful for all the work that they've put in. And I do think they've done a good job. And I hope that everything that they've been able to, you know, lay out there for the jury, that they got a clear understanding of the whole picture.
I concur. I think they've done an excellent job. And there are a lot of moving parts, and they did that. They laid it out, and they dotted their I's and crossed their T's wanting to bring all of these rebuttal witnesses back. Some the judge, you know, denied.
Yeah.
And they have been taking this very seriously, and I feel like they've been very methodical. Mm-hmm. And I've always said it's sort of like the tortoise and the hare. You know, John Pryor came out swinging the first day, but they just took their time, knew what they had, and just laid it out appropriately. Mm-hmm. And I feel, I want you guys to know, this is me now talking, just how I feel talking with friends and with Julie. I do think it's going to be a guilty verdict.
Yeah,
I do. I think we're going to see justice for JJ, Tylee, and Tammy. And I want to ask you this too, you know, this time around, Tammy has been a bigger part. Tylee has also been a bigger part of this, as has Tammy. Mm-hmm. You know, do you feel like people I feel like people have gotten to know her a little bit more. I want to, you know, go ahead.
Yeah. Like I think with Lori's trial, I do feel like people just were not able to learn about her as much. And I think that's why it was so important for my mom to be here as much as, you know, she could be. And also having promised her sister that she would be there and support. And if she could be there, she would be there. And my mom is also amazing and loyal and did not let life, you know, stop her from being here as much as she could almost every day, this trial, and talk about Tammy and just remember her and the memories and the good times, and just have, hopefully people get a better sense of she's more than a librarian and she's more than a teacher. Like there's so much to her that hopefully, just as we've been here, like hopefully people can feel like they have gotten to know her a little bit. And also seeing all her friends testify on her behalf, and like, that has been amazing for us to see too, just how loved she was. I mean, we know we love her, but just how loved she was and that people loved being around her. She was fun, and she, you know, it's been good for us to meet some of those teachers and to experience that also.
Well, I want to thank you and your mom for coming out more recently. I know that neither of you, this is not something I want to say that Julie or Vicky love doing. It's not like they're saying, hey, can we go live on Hidden True Crime tomorrow and let's keep doing this. And I want you guys to know their reasons for doing this over and over and over again are for the victims, because you want to be voices and you want to humanize them and help people. And I want you to know that that's exactly what you and Vicky have done. And Even for me, mm-hmm. I feel, you know, I've always had a tender spot for Tammy. Mm-hmm. You know, she, you know, I gave a tribute to her in our original podcast because I felt, and this is me, not you, this is me, this is coming from Lauren. I felt like I could picture myself in her shoes if, you know, look, I didn't marry someone young, but if you meet someone young, mm-hmm. they come from a great family, you don't live with them before, everything seems good, it seems like a perfect match if it were an arranged marriage. You know, I just, and that she was so young and yeah. they had children and she worked so hard and made it work. And I've always had this soft spot for her. Like, you know, she did everything right. Mm-hmm. She did everything she was supposed mm-hmm. to do. And, but I feel like, I've really, really gotten to know her better mm-hmm. as well as Tylee and JJ and even Charles, through both you and your mother. Yeah. And I want to thank you for that. And that's, if that's what you two set out to do, that's what you've done.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was actually just reading this comment that says, I see Tylee as a hero. Yeah, so after sitting in court on last Thursday, and hearing how horrific things were, I just kept thinking the same thing, actually, that I'm sure she lost her life fighting. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way about Tammy. I can't imagine that she didn't fight. And so they're both strong women that, you know, are brave. And as hard as it is, like, I do feel like they both fought. And so I appreciate that comment.
Thank you. Thank you, Keila. All right. Anything else you want to share? The chat's going fast. You've probably seen some of these. I can hardly, being over here, star them enough.
Charles's trial. The trial will be in Arizona for Charles. I just saw somebody ask that. I probably will try to go if I can. I would love to, and there probably will be other people that knew him that would, I'm sure, like to show up for him there.
Right. Justice for Charles next and getting to know Charles.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was such a wonderful man. He really was. Yeah.
You saw his patience, and he was always taking care of JJ, right?
He was so great with JJ, and he just was just such a nice man. Like, I just can't imagine. I just can't imagine why they thought that was unnecessary. Like, I mean, I think he was frustrated with everything that was happening, but I mean, he had every right to question what was going on. And it's unfortunate that they didn't take what he was saying as serious as it was. Yeah.
And as Kay Woodcock has told me, that this is the way Charles would want it. He would say, take care of the children and Tammy first. Mm-hmm. Do that first, worry about me later. And so to Kay, this is exactly what Charles would want. And so, justice for Charles next.
And I think people look at Charles and they're like, Charles was like so good looking. He was so fit and just like, okay, this makes zero sense.
Zero sense.
But okay, must be another connection there. I don't know. But he was definitely thoughtful, and I can definitely see him saying that. Like, I'll wait, and we'll go through those one by one, and we'll get them, knock them all out. So yeah.
For those that want to know what happened in court, you have my lunch live. Thank you.
Yeah, again. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for all the comments and questions. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio.
See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.